is taken from the 20th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let us look to God for a moment of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, before whom all hearts are open, unto whom all desires are known, let thy words search our hearts this morning and discover our sin, that we, being convicted of our sin, may be led to the Savior, the only remedy for sin, the only way of acceptance before thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. Enable the right preaching and hearing of thy word this morning, for without thee we can do nothing. We acknowledge our utter dependence upon thee and do beseech thee for thy favor in Jesus Christ. Amen. Continuing this morning our meditation or lesson upon the Ten Commandments, as they are recorded for us in the 20th chapter of Exodus, and particularly this day, as we did last week, to look at this fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We said last week, and I will mention this again, that it is my belief, along with all of the church fathers of the first four centuries, that this commandment properly belongs in the first table of the law, that is to say, the first section of the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments, which deal with our duty to God, as opposed to the second table of the law, the sixth through the tenth commandment, those latter five that deal with our duty toward one another or our duty toward man. And we said this because God has placed mother and father in such a relationship as his deputies, as his ambassadors to children, so that they are to regard them with very much the same attitude that they look upon God himself. And we saw that this term, honor, is used as a term for worship, and it carries with it the idea of reverential fear. In Leviticus 19, verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. It's interesting to note here that the mother is put before the word father here. Remarkably, God, as if anticipating that we would not revere and fear our mother because of her state of subordination to the father and because of the many things that she suffers for her children. So God says, thou shalt fear thy mother and father, and keep my Sabbaths. Again, our duty to God in the fourth commandment. I am the Lord your God. If you serve me as the Lord, then you must honor my deputies in the family, your father and your mother. So we saw that the heart of this commandment is that we are to have a reverential esteem for our fathers and our mothers, and to show this profound respect by word and by gesture. We saw that the term honor also means to obey. parents. That is implicit. How can parents be honored if they are disobeyed? And so the Apostle Paul commands in writing to the Ephesians and quoting the fifth commandment, children, obey your parents in the Lord. As the first commandment with promise, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so children, if they would please God, must first of all obey their parents and submit to them. And we saw that included in this word obey is not only obedience to their explicit commands, but it means also to obey all the lawful wishes of your parents. It means to seek to please them in all that you do by being the kind of person that they've taught you to be. It means in every situation to conduct yourself in accordance with what they have taught you. It means to follow those courses that they have set down. And we look at this remarkable example of this principle in Jeremiah, the 35th chapter, in the family of Jonadab and his descendants over a period of many generations, how they had respected the wish of their forebearer, and how careful they were to preserve the ancient character of their family in living a simple, austere life that had been commanded them years earlier. Now, also implicit in this idea of honoring mother and father is the requirement to serve them by relieving their wants and necessities, especially when they are old and cannot provide much for themselves. So to serve them by relieving their wants. And the word honor clearly has this meaning in connection with the fifth commandment. This is brought out in the 15th chapter of Matthew's gospel in the third verse. The Pharisees had accused Jesus' disciples of breaking the teaching of the Pharisees. There was a whole body of traditions that had grown up around the scriptures that came to be regarded as authoritative. And so Jesus was accused here by the elders of permitting his disciples to eat before they had washed their hands. But Jesus answered them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother." And then we'll see later, this is a quotation from the book of Leviticus that Jesus brings to them. "He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." That's what God said. Honor your father and mother. "But you say, by your tradition, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Now what does this mean? Well, the Pharisees had taught. This is what they said. That a son might say concerning a portion of his wealth that should have gone to support his aging parents and their necessities, to relieve them, to serve them by requiting all that they had done for him in the younger years, in their younger years. So that one might say, why, this portion of my wealth is set aside, it is dedicated to the Lord. It is korban. It belongs to God. And this, said the Pharisees, would relieve them of the necessity of taking that wealth and using it to support their aging parents. The Pharisees said, in other words, they gave them a loophole. If you can say this is dedicated to God, then you may not use that to relieve your parents. That's the sense of he shall be free. Free from that obligation now. Thus, Jesus said, have ye made the commandment of God, the fifth commandment, void by your tradition. Now, doesn't this teach us that this word, honor thy father and mother, it means to support them in the time of their need and declining strength. This is a lesson really in hermeneutics this morning, the principles of biblical interpretation. How do we interpret the Bible? Is the church the only infallible interpreter of the Bible? No, we say the Bible is the only infallible interpretation of the Bible. And here's an example. Every sense of this word, honor thy father and thy mother, we take from the Bible. And we let Jesus' example and words here interpret what it means to honor our father and mother. So it means to recompense our parents in the time of their need. This sense is also borne out in 1 Timothy chapter 5 in the third verse. Now notice this term here. The Apostle Paul says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Now here's the early church. There were many widows whose husbands had been taken away. And many of these were destitute. They had no means of providing for themselves. There was no welfare state. And so the church had to take care of its own. And here, honor, you see, is a term that is used for remuneration, for financial consideration to these widows. And also in verse 17, concerning how elders should be compensated. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. In other words, elders who not only rule, but who teach and preach, these are to receive double honor. Now, what does that word honor mean? It doesn't mean simply honor their persons. It means provide financial consideration. Double. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. And so the fifth commandment carries in it an obligation upon each one of us to honor our father and mother in the years of their declining strength by taking care of them, by relieving their wants, by doing all that we can to make their life comfortable and easy. And what a cause for concern there is today that the fifth commandment is broken by many. As parents are left virtually alone and many abandoned to nursing homes to be cared for in such an impersonal and often neglectful way, simply because in most cases, children do not want to bear the inconvenience and the hardship of caring for their aging parents. Well, we could go on and on here, but Let us hear what God has to say. Do we honor our mother and father? You see, we're never free from this obligation. Parents are very important people. There is only one mother and father that any of us have. And no matter who they are, whether faithful or unfaithful, it makes no difference. They are God's representatives to us. And they brought us into this world. And they've given much for us. And we are to honor them as long as they live. And even beyond the grave, as we seek to honor their memory and to perpetuate the memory of them to those that come after us. Now let me say, so far we have been dealing with the obvious requirement in this commandment that we honor our mother and father, the plain sense of the commandment. But the fifth commandment also requires that parents, that mothers and fathers are obligated to promote the obedience and the reverence in their children that is required by this commandment. So how do parents promote obedience to the fifth commandment in their children? Let me suggest some ways. First, and perhaps most obviously, is to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. This is a vow which is taken when we present our children for baptism. And parents solemnly covenant with God that they will take these children that God has given them and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is left out in the scripture in Ephesians 6:4. Parents, bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, in the instruction and correction of the Lord. In the sense that God said to Abraham, I have known him, I have chosen him, so that he will command his children in the way of the Lord, so that he will instruct them in the holy religion of God's word, in all their duty toward God and toward their fellow man, and indeed to instruct them in their duty toward their parents. How many of us teach our children what the fifth commandment means? It means to provide instruction to our children. It means to teach them not to leave that up to the church or the Sunday school, but to sit down with your children day by day, and instruct them in the principles of God's word. Hence, we see how important family worship is, because you fathers, if you don't fulfill this responsibility in family worship, when will you teach your children the principles of God's word? It means to instruct them in the catechism and to explain what the answers mean, to encourage them in following the way of the Lord. The word admonition here also includes correcting them, to point out what's wrong. No, son, not this way, but this way. This is wrong for this reason, and this is right for the following reasons. It means to correct them, to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord means to labor diligently for their conversion, for their hearts are sinful and need the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, and they need to be brought to an awareness of their own sin and need of a Savior, and to that place where they forsake their sin and turn in their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Augustine said his mother, Monica, labored more for his spiritual birth than she did for his natural birth. As she travailed over his soul and pleaded day after day that God would take away his rebellious, sensual nature, bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wonderfully answered that mother's prayers. As one day he began to sit under the preaching of Ambrose in Milan, and God worked the miracle of grace upon his heart. Mothers and fathers, pray diligently and labor for the souls of your children. Pray for their conversion and the healing of their lives. As Matthew Henry says so well, grace does not run in the blood. Grace is sovereign and comes from above, and our little children need the converting grace of the Holy Spirit. Another responsibility of parents under the fifth commandment is to train their children. To train them. God says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That training certainly includes instruction. Not this way, but this way. Sometimes children get tired of hearing this, especially when they get into their teen years and think that they understand so much. But parents there especially have a need to instruct their children. And this is contrary to the modern idea of parents and children having a dialogue and working out something that's mutually acceptable. This is what the psychologists are telling us today, but it is not God's way. Train up a child in the way he shall go. And this training implies also the use of the rod in correcting children. You remember that the sons of Eli dishonored the Lord in their office. And Eli himself as a parent was sorely chastened and judged of the Lord because he only instructed them. He said, sons, don't do this. This is wrong. But you see, he should have gone further and stopped them from doing what they were doing. Some of you who have or have had perhaps children in a period of rebellion know how very hard this is. And Eli himself failed, and God judged him for that. No training of a child implies using the rod of correction. It implies corporal punishment. And I'll just mention a few of the prescriptions in the Word of God concerning this. In Proverbs, the 13th chapter, verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. If this is true, beloved, a lot of people hate their children. Oh, they may gush out with all this humanistic love. But if they don't use the rod, God says, not the New York Times or the Durham Herald editorial page, but God says they hate their children if they do not use corporal punishment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his cry. When you hear that cry of pain in the child, in the administration of corporal punishment, don't back off because you don't want to hurt that little one. Now, the Bible is not talking about a merciless beating here, but recognizing our tendency to spare. Let not thy soul spare for his crying, because it is that pain that cleanses and trains and brings instruction. And eventually those that follow God's way will see the good fruit of it. In chapter 20, verse 30, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. That means a bruise. But you know what? in our very city today, you can be arrested if someone finds a mark on the legs or the backside of one of your children and reports it. You will be visited by the government. It is against the law, against man's law, to leave a mark of any kind. I'm not talking about broken skin. I mean a mark of any kind on a child. Is it any wonder that this nation is going down so fast? Because we are more merciful than God. That's the problem. We think we're more merciful than God. God says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes, that is, these marks that are illegal. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Now, this is metaphoric language, but what God is saying here, corporal punishment has an inward cleansing effect on the soul. And if it's true in the family to correct children, how much more should it be true of civil punishment as well? What if a young man who knocks down a woman, strikes her in the head, and steals her purse were tied to a whipping post and the measured beating was administered rather than throwing him in jail for 2 weeks where he only plots what he's going to do when he gets out? But oh no, we say that's cruel and unusual punishment. Oh, we don't want to do that. We're more merciful than God. God looks down and says, are you? Then you will reap the whirlwind for your foolishness. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The rod of correction. And in the 23rd chapter, verse 13, or verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. We'd say like that one. Today, the Durham City Council. Beating a child? You see, God knows way back from generations ago, there is the tendency in us to spare our children. But God says the rod is to be used in training them. Now, the fifth commandment also requires that parents deal in a loving way in all their relationship and in all their dealing with their children. Even the rod is to be administered with love. It may be hard for the children to see this, even as when God uses the rod of his correction in your life and mine, it's very hard to see a loving countenance in God in that moment, but afterward. No chastening for the moment seemeth to be joyous, but afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. How many of us have been utterly knocked down by God and brought to our knees, only to find out later how sweet that it has been sent in love and mercy? That's the way our discipline should be. But all of our conversation, all of our carriage, all that we say by way of instruction and correction to our children should be in a loving way. Don't order your children about as prisoners or servants, but let them hear and sense the love of God in all that you say to them, in all your correction, in all your commands. So the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3:21, Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. How are children provoked to wrath? By demeaning language. By speaking to them in terms that make them feel like something subhuman. You remember Saul said to Jonathan, his son, in a fit of anger, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman! You see, that's a breach of the fifth commandment, to speak to your children that way. Some parents curse their children when they're angry. All of that provokes a child to wrath and is counterproductive to the keeping of the fifth commandment. To strike a child without cause or too severely is a breach of the fifth commandment. You remember Saul, in another fit of anger, cast a javelin at Jonathan. Threw the javelin across the room, and the scripture records that Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. It also means to set a godly example before the children. It's painful for parents sometimes to reflect upon this because we fail so miserably here. The greatest sermon our children will ever have is the life that we live before them from day to day. Do we say one thing and do another? Do they see a pattern in our lives of saying this is right in the sight of God, but we go and do another? Our lives should be an example to our children. We should back up that which we teach in family devotion and in other areas of our lives with a life so that they can see that we bend and stretch every nerve to keep God's word. And if we do that, our children will understand when we fail. And there are times when parents ought to confess their failure to their children and their sin. Also, and it means to pray much for them. It's interesting that in the baptismal vows, parents covenant and promise to pray with and for their children, to pray daily for them, to pray for their schoolwork, to pray for the courses they're having trouble with, to pray for their social adjustment problems or whatever it is, and above all for their conversion and healing, and that they will be the Lord's people forever. And I say to you, children, if you have parents that fit this description and do these things, you are most blessed. You should go home today and fall on your knees and thank God, especially for godly parents who do what they can to promote obedience in you. I want to say a word this morning about dishonoring parents. About dishonoring parents. I had wanted to do this, but I think I'm not going to be able to this morning. I'm afraid if I get into this subject that frankly, that I'll keep you too long this morning. So I'd like to save this for next week, which is a major consideration in connection with this commandment. How God sees the dishonoring of father and mother. But let me ask you once again, do you honor mother and father? Do you keep this commandment? If you don't, it is a sin against God. It is a sin that you need to confess and repent of. There is forgiveness from the Lord Jesus Christ, to his promise to wash away all our sins when we call upon him for forgiveness and cleansing. Perhaps there are parents here whose hearts are convicted that you do not do, that you failed substantially to do your part in training your children to be Christians. Come to the Lord, confessing your sin and asking for mercy, and he will graciously forgive. If we confess our sins, the Bible says, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God be praised for the institution of parents. Even for those that may not be Christians, or who may be Christians in profession only, how marvelous that God has given to each of us a mother and father to honor as we would honor and respect him. May God be praised. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee this morning looking for wisdom, the wisdom of thy word. We pray that not one soul may leave this place this morning without understanding what is required by us in this fifth commandment. And yet, as we hear thy perfect law, we acknowledge that we fail so miserably to keep it, that we have left undone that which we ought to do. We have done and said and thought that which we ought not. We are ashamed, O God, as parents, and all that wherein we have not lived before our children as we ought. That we have spoken to them of holiness, but we have been unholy. That we have spoken to them of the graces of the Christian life, and yet we have not evidenced those graces. That we have not instructed them as we ought. That we have been busy about many things in the world and have not given ourselves to the great task of building their lives, of encouraging them in every way to submit to that authority that thou hast vested in parents as custodians for God himself of our children. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us of all our dishonoring of our parents, for those ways in which we have neglected them and esteemed them lightly. Set light by our mother and father. Forgive us in thine abounding grace, and help us from this day forward to so live that we may make them glad that they bore us and nurtured us, that we may return to them that which is our duty. We pray for those of our parents that have a great need for thee in their souls, that thou turn the darkness to light, and be pleased to visit them in thy mercy and to save their souls. And these things we ask with the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen.